Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Joel Towelhead of SatanService.org, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman of ConjurmanConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from AIR, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's tutorial on confusion spells. Afterwards, they will take clients and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening. But if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and connect with the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to our clients in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman. Miss Kat?
The reason that Nagashiva was our announcer is that our hoped-for special guest, Papa Newt, called in sick. And that means that we bumped our announcer, JD, up to guest, and Nagashiva, being the last in line, became our announcer. So today I want to start off real quick with the winners for our different contests because people want to know who won. Last week's Hoodoo Psychics Magic Mondays winner won a free 15-minute reading. And that winner was Brittany Thomas. And Deacon Millett has already connected with Brittany, and Brittany will be able to claim a free reading from any Hoodoo Psychics reader of her choice. Congratulations. The winner for the weekly Lucky Mojo Facebook Fridays contest was a big crowd of people because we had 8 packets of 9 Herb Spiritual Bath. And this is an herb bath that you can brew into a tea to use to bathe for psychic vision. And you can also use the tea to bathe your scrying tools, pendulums, crystals, or anything like that in it to increase their psychic potentiality. And the 8 winners were Amy Lee, Daniel Davison, Amanda Miller, Marcy Camilla, Christopher Daly, Sherry Rashin Ansarat, Lori Ann Hoch, and Tanya Curling. And apologies if I pronounced any of your names wrong, but I tried. And they've all been messaged, and they can now go and claim their prizes, and they will be shipped to them for free. So if you're one of our 8 winners, please contact our Facebook page by clicking message and sending us your mailing address for shipping purposes. Now we have another prize coming up, but we haven't reached it yet. As you mostly know, by now you should know, we have a YouTube channel. This is being broadcast live on YouTube right now, this show. And we are converting all of our old shows to YouTube at the rate of 1 per day. And we want to get more subscribers. So as of today, we have 915 subscribers. And we only started on January 1st, so we're doing very, very well. But to get to 1,000 subscribers is our goal. That will allow us to help monetize the channel. We also need view hours. We'll get to that later. So at 1,000 subscribers, when we hit 1,000 subscribers, we're going to give away a prize. And the way we've determined to do this is we need more comments for the algorithm. So we're going to go through all of the comments on every show and collect all of the names because we don't have enough people yet commenting on our shows to collect them all from one show. But you can start with this show. If you have a comment to make on this show, once it's put up on YouTube, that would be great. But we're going to collect all the comments, throw them into a hat, and select one person, and they will get a very large prize, the Catherine Ironwood Author Special. And that's a copy of my books. And it's a valuable prize. We'll tell you more about it. I don't think we're going to make that 1,000 within this 1 week. So it'll probably be a couple of weeks. So just remember, your comments at any time on any show will be counted, and you'll be able to get a whole lot of books that I have written and co-written. So that's it for me as far as the prize information. Now, today, letting you all know what's going on with the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, we have gone into a hyperdrive on the YouTube channel. It's working out very, very well. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank my patrons. I want to thank those who've donated. We have a button for donations to help us pay for Andre Yashin, who lives in the nation of Georgia and is making all of our shows into videographic shows. And he's doing a really great job, and Deacon Millet is helping him as the project manager, kind of get his lines of sight lined up and get everything in line with what we want. And I'm working on it. We are converting all of the YouTube URLs into forum URLs. So in the forum right now, it might say, if you want to go look at an old show, it'll say, go to BTR, Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is going off the air January 31st. Those URLs will all cease to exist. There will be no URL until the show is videographed and made into a YouTube video. So we're going through a down period where we're trying to get these in at one per day. Any money you can send to our donation button will be really, really great. You can find it online. There's a URL that I'm sure will be posted for the donation. It's a PayPal donation. You can donate any amount of money you want, from $1 to $1,000. It will all go to pay for this to be done. If we get in more money, it'll go faster. That's what we're telling everyone. It will go faster because Andre actually can do 2 per day or 3 per day. All we need is the cash money to pay him. So thank you, everybody, for your help and making this a success. Everybody's been really great. And I hope that the donation button will be posted by Nagashiva here live. If not, maybe someone else can do it. I believe it's luckymojo.com/YouTube donation, something. We'll find out. But we need you to give us a hand up here. All right, so that's it for what's happening at Lucky Mojo. I mean, everything else goes on, people making products, people shipping products, everything's happening. But I have been completely drawn away from the shop to work on the YouTube channel. So give me a break, folks. I'm doing the best I can. And there it is. He did post it. It's www.luckymojo.com/YouTubeDonation.html. Thank you, Shiva. All right. Let's see what's going on with you, Conjurman, in the sunny Southland.
Hello, Kat. I hope you're doing well.
I'm stressed. Yeah. Okay.
Listen, it's been a stressful month. It's been one of those months. Southern California is not as sunny as it usually is. We had a little bit of rain, or expecting rain, which is actually really good because we've still got fires going on. The Palisades fire isn't fully contained, but it's getting there. Unfortunately, last week we had another gust of winds, which started new fires. So Southern California is still dealing with some environmental climate change problems. But rain is on the way, and that should help a little bit. So fingers crossed. Meanwhile, I'm now at my desk, but I spent all day tucked into my bed, surrounded by books. I had 12 books on my bed at one point because I'm in the middle of doing some research, some secret research, but very exciting and fun research. And so I've had these books. I do this sometimes when I don't want to sit at my desk. I'll just sort of lay my books out on my bed because I have a big enough bed that I can do that. And so I lay them out and I just sort of surround myself with like books as I lay like some pasha reclining with my books, and I read through them and I write my notes down. Especially if like you're sitting at the desk for a long time, that's never good for you, and it's not good for your back. So it's kind of nice to be there. So I've taken a break from my bed, a scholarly bed, we'll call it. And I'm sitting at my table now, but it's been a busy day, and I've been focused mostly on research.
Right. Well, meanwhile, the chat is getting away from us here. I just want to put in a couple of notes here. Folk Magic Studio, which is Papa G, said, don't care if you have time to listen, start a Lucky Mojo radio show on YouTube and just let it run all the way through. Need 3,000 watch hours to get to the monetization level. Listen while you sleep. Thank you, Papa G. That is so true. And I can tell you another way to do it, too. If you have a like a Bluetooth headphone or something like that, you can just let it run by changing your internal speaker to Bluetooth, and it'll just run over there where your headphones are, and you don't have to worry about it. That's another way to do it. We really do appreciate all the help we can get.
How many watch hours is it at now? Do we know?
500.
500. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to make it, but we just got to get there. You know, come on. Come on, team. Pull, pull, pull. And I, too, have a memory of falling asleep surrounded by books. If I try to do that now, a little elf comes into my bed somewhere around 2 o'clock in the morning and takes all the books away and substitutes himself. And wake up in the morning, I have no books anymore. I have a husband. So, yes. And the squeaky door. Someone says squeaky door. Shiva enters. Love it. Yeah. That door squeaks. I was taught by my mother. You know how often I mention my mother's great wisdom? My mother actually was taught this by her mother and told me that her mother told her and that her grandmother told her, never fix a squeaky door. It will warn you if there are intruders in your house. Hmm. Never fix a squeaky stair for the same reason. Let them squeak. You'll always know if someone's in your house. Now, what you're going to do about that, you know, run screaming, hide in a closet, get your knife, get your gun. I don't know. But that's how what I was taught. Always let the door squeak. So there we go. Now we're going to say hi to JD, formerly announced as an announcer, now a guest. How are you doing, JD? And thank you for being here on such short notice in a different chair.
One way or another.
There you are. Okay. How are you doing?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, well, glad to be here in one way or the other. Good to see you, Conjurman and Nagashiva.
What are you doing in Detroit these days?
Well, it's cold out here, very cold. I know you guys had some fires and rain out there. We've been in negative temperatures, so we've been bunkering down, reading a lot of books as well, but to the tone of drinking coffee and, you know, staying warm by the fire. Keeping up with doing some work and, you know, doing readings as well. So just been busy, been good times.
Right. Well, we are here to talk about confusion magic and confusion spells. So Shiva, in amongst his other tasks, has a list of other URLs where we've done other shows on confusion magic and also places at the Lucky Mojo Forum that you can go to find out about confusion magic. These will eventually be listed at the YouTube channel in the description area when you click more. And I want people to understand that this is going to be a feature of all of our shows, that if there are other radio shows on the topic, if there are other threads at the forum, if there are herbs mentioned, if there are books mentioned, all of those links will be down below. So it's going to take us time to get it all together, folks. Be patient, but it will happen. All right. And now comes our topic of confusion. So since we did a previous show about confusion magic, we're calling this one confusion spells. But the other one was sort of a free-for-all. We all just jumped in. I believe it was with Miss Michael, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, it was. And it was on October 16th, 2022. And we'll try to get that one up online here at YouTube ahead of the batch, just so that they'll have a matched pair. But probably within the next week or two. But this time we're going to go at it a little differently. We're going to actually look at what confusion spells are and why we use them. And I'm going to start with an idea here. And Conjurman and I were talking about it backstage before this started. I categorize confusion spells into three types. The one I call mental fog, mental mud, brain fog, where the person becomes confused in such a way that they can't think straight. They just don't know what they're doing. The second type of them is where they are acting correctly, but at the wrong time, date, or place. In other words, their mind is going, oh yes, and I'm going to give this speech, and it's going to be, but it was Tuesday, not Thursday, or there was a traffic jam. So they are confused about the time and date. And there are special spells for that, just having to do with getting their sense of time messed up. And then a third type is a type that most of us know as inflammatory confusion, where they simply begin to lose control of their tongue, and they speak out of turn, and they get angry. They curse in front of the judge in court, or they shake their fist, or do something completely so socially inappropriate or verbally inappropriate that they have forgotten how to convince people of what they want. So these are the three types we're going to be looking at, three types of confusion. And Kashman, you had a name for them yourself that you said you were taught. What is your name for them?
Yeah, I have something similar. I mean, they overlap, but they are slightly different. And it was I was doing some ethnographic work with a West African practitioner. And the way it was described was confusion of the mind, confusion of the tongue, and confusion of action. So the confusion of mind is they're unable to think straight. This is particularly done to ensure that they can't see your actions. So some practitioners in conjure and Southern American folk magic, Black folk magic, will use confusion of the mind to conceal their own actions, right? So sort of invisibility because the other person can't see you because their mind is confused. They can't figure things out. Confusion of the tongue to ensure that they cannot speak against you. This is particularly done to address things like slander, gossip, or people who are plotting at work that they, you know, they sort of spread things about you. And some people can do this with as a sort of protective act, and others do it as more aggressive. And then confusion of action to ensure that they cannot work against you. This is a common breakdown that I was taught, not just by this person, but then I found it in places like North Carolina. So you can see a connection between West African magic and the folk magic here in the United States. And it does map out very similarly to what you described.
Yeah. So confusion of action would be what I call the date-time mix-up. Yep. They cannot act for whatever reason it is. They get sick. They lose their candles, fall out the window. Who knows? You know, some way they cannot act. And confusion of the tongue is connected to inflammatory confusion, inappropriate for the venue. But it also can be that they start to stutter or they get nervous or fearful. And confusion of the mind or of the head does have to do with being unable to carry a thought through. They just lose their train of thought. Mm-hmm. They might forget what they needed to get together to be able to speak or present a program, a coherent program. So these are our three types of confusion. Now, JD said he wanted to talk about, and we're going to bring him on here, on when to use confusion magic and confusion spells, what kinds of magic they are used for. And I'm just going to kind of think about the major categories of purpose of magic. There might be for money, for love, and for prosperity and for health and so forth. Confusion magic does not apply to all of those unless you have an enemy in one of those areas. But confusion magic does apply as a form of ensuring victory in a contested event. So not praying for prosperity. There's no one to confuse. You can't confuse God. You're asking God for prosperity. But if you're trying to get a job and someone else is trying to get a job, confusing that other person, they're not really an enemy, but they're an opponent. And so that's where confusion might come in. So go ahead, JD, and talk about why confusion spells.
Sure. And as you said, Ms. Kat and Conjurman discussed podcast, there's different reasons why one would want to use confusion. And you and Conjurman were talking about the different categorizations of them. And I look at categorization based from the lens of how it's applied. So how would you utilize these confusion spells and why would you use them? For example, and then there's one in the chat right here talking about the cow's tongue and Beauty Esqua author. And yes, one of the ways and reasons you would use confusion spells is through court cases that could confuse the judges from the prosecutor. This can confuse the witnesses and the police. So there's different ways you'd use confusion spells and even the cow tongue to silence to confuse them while in the court proceedings so that it would go in your favor. Another way that you would use them is to working on an enemy. So if you have an enemy that you're working magic on, one of the things you want to do, and I know this is something that Conjurman has actually, I believe he's done a presentation on this before, is being able to break through that that barrier of that person in order to get to them. And one way to do that is through using confusion. So by causing confusion on your enemy, you're able to then use other workings to get at them. You can also use confusion on enemies in your mundane life. So this could be someone who is, you know, at work who causes trouble, or, you know, in your relationships that is causing trouble and that you need to use confusion on. Ms. Kat shared with me earlier, and this is a great one as well, a critical meeting where maybe there's something that's going to be done in this meeting that's very essential and important, and you could utilize confusion to confuse the meeting, confuse the people in the meeting. You can confuse the proceedings. You could use confusion to trip people up so that if they were supposed to be on time, or if there is an event they need to be at, that they're confused, they mess up, they're unable to speak. You could even use confusion if you are at a high contentious job prospect. So if you're at a job that you're trying to get and there's a lot of high qualified people, you might use confusion so that you get the upper hand against those you're applying against. So some of the reasons people might use confusing spells. Another reason as well would be with hot foot, though not necessarily needed with hot foot, but with hot foot, where you're trying to chase someone away and cause that inflammatory issues, you could also add that confusion aspect to get them to leave. So those are some of the reasons for using confusion spells.
Yeah, I want to say something about this. We all know about confusion spells that are done for court cases. Very common to confuse the cops so that they lose the evidence that they were supposed to bring in. And also when we talk about meetings, one of the things, you know, here we are communicating through a electronic software application that allows us to chat and talk at the same time, but you know, oops, the internet goes down and the meeting can't be held if you need more time to prepare. So there's many reasons to confuse people. One is to buy time. Another one is to outfox an opponent. Now the other one you mentioned, hot foot, confusion with hot foot. This is something that has been testified to many times in older accounts. Harry Hyatt talked with a lot of informants. He talked about 1,600 African-American root workers and home practitioners of conjure and hoodoo. And very often they would describe a situation in which somebody they wanted to have gone, they would hot foot them, but they also would make them confused. So they would wander in their mind and wander in their feet. So adding confusion powder or oil or inflammatory confusion, if you want to go that way, but usually it would just be regular. This is the brain fog type confusion, not the explosive confusion. Adding that to hot foot might cause them to pick up and move out of town. And then later when someone says, why did you do that? They go, I don't really know why.
Yep, yep.
They just were confused and they did it. This can be used with railroad spells, river spells, and road spells to drive people away, and also with egg over the house spells or any kind of spells that are used to get someone gone, where you want to stop short of killing them. You just want them to be so messed up that they don't know why now they're leaving.
We should note that it is a form of, it's a cursing type of work, it's a crossing type of work, and while it doesn't kill, you know, a lot of witnesses and interviews indicate that it does quite a bit of damage. In fact, the first uncrossing, if you can say, working that I ever encountered, I was really young, I was about 10 years old or so, and Mama Jay had a client, and he was an older man, at least an older man in comparison to the eyes of a 10-year-old. So he may have been just like 50. But he had been effectively homeless for something like 2 years. And it was because he had been hot-footed with inflammatory confusion. His mind was confused. He didn't always know where he was. And she performed a foot wash with a head blessing and helped to remove the inflammatory confusion. And he was able to find his family again, reconnect with his children, and sort of turned his whole life around. But it is an example of the way in which, and it was often described when you asked these workers what they were doing when they were crossing people, they would say, hitting both ends. You hit the head and you hit the feet. And as a result, it sort of makes them, you know, lose their equilibrium, forces them away from their home, uproots them. That's the hot foot. And then the inflammatory confusion ensures that the mind never quite figures out what's going on, so they can't always get the help that they need. It's quite devastating if done well.
Yeah. We have some questions here. The Donquist asked, what if you don't know the exact date and time of the meeting and the exact attendees, although some are known? Well, in that case, I would recommend you take a look at my book, Paper in My Shoe. And Paper in My Shoe gives a long description of how to generalize and then get more specific as you get closer to the people, the time, or the place. So you would start with, may all those who are to attend this meeting become confused. May they suffer minor health disturbances that keep them from attending. May the email system in their office go down. You just go through a list of things, and may all of them be affected. Then if you find out, well, you know, John and Joe and Mary are going to attend, you say, and may John and Joe and Mary find confusion and be unable to attend. So you just get closer and closer. The closer you can get, the more precise you can hit the thing to happen the way you want it to be hit. If you're just sending out a general cloud of confusion against 40 people, your power is not as going to be as direct or as strong. So for instance, if you want to say, I want to confuse some governmental agency that they lose the paperwork, don't make the filing thing on them, you're talking maybe 200 to 5,000 people in that governmental agency. It would behoove you to do some research and find out who you really want to confuse. I'm going to talk a little bit about confusion of the tongue of speech. We all know about the court case spells where you take a tongue, an animal tongue, or maybe brown paper towels and make a tongue formed brown paper towel rectangle and moisten it. And you put into it the confusion herbs such as red pepper, black pepper, salt, poppy seeds, which is has opium in it, a little bit, but it's enough, and other herbs that are used to confuse people. And you tie the tongue closed, you can put it in the freezer, you can put it in vinegar to sour their voices and so forth. Everyone knows this particular court case spell, and you can find it at Lucky Mojo courtcase.html. So that is a sort of a basic, but there are other ways to confuse people more directly. And I'm going to give one example. If you want to confuse somebody's tongue so that their speech is not good, you can use a skull candle. And you are going to bless and dress and mark and inscribe that candle for them and load it with something personal of theirs. And then you're going to make what I call the tongue, which is a long piece of paper. I use an 8.5 by 11 paper, and I cut it long ways into a long 11-inch strip. And then all along it, I write words that express the confusion of this person, such as, I don't know, Judge. It's just that, I don't know, basically, You see that, well, I'm kind of, well, what was it you asked? I don't know. And you just write that all down that tongue, right? You take and carve with a knife where the teeth are in the skull, and you save some of that wax, and you embed the beginning of that speech as if it were a word balloon coming out of their mouth, a little word scroll, and you're going to embed that. But before you do that, you roll it up so that it's rolled up and it makes like a little, like one of those New Year's whistles, which you blow it and the scroll unscrolls. So you roll it up and then you take it should be able to unroll again. And you take the base of that and put it into the tongue, melt some of the old wax that you scraped out into it, fix it in place. If you have to use softer wax to hold it in place, that's okay. Just depends on what kind of wax your skull candle is made of. Learn how to work with wax, different melting points, different hardnesses. Beeswax will mend a lot of problems with other wax. And so will the soft wax that comes out of Vigilites. You can melt that together with harder wax to make medium soft modeling wax. Okay, so once you have that in there, you're going to then dress that head, that skull candle, with confusion oil. You can put some confusion herbs in it. I really like to just dust it all over with poppy seeds like it was a bagel. And then you're going to make your prayer, and that they be confused. You're going to let it just start to burn. And when it is burned partway down, and these burn usually in a deep well in the middle of the skull, you can take the tongue end and unroll it and catch it on fire with its own flame. And when I do that, I say, let your words be your own undoing. And then that starts to burn. Oh, by the way, I'm not Conjure Mentzel, I forgot the fireproof surface. A Conjure Mentzel always starts up on a flameproof surface. So yeah, you need a flameproof surface. Oops. Now, don't do this on your wood table. So then you and it's going to be a mess, and it'll be a flaming mess. You can also, at that point, when it starts to really flame up, add a little bit of alcohol or Florida water. People use Florida water for anything that needs alcohol. It's a cologne. It will burn. But when I was young, we talked about people who were what were called whiskey-headed. And whiskey-headed people are drunks. They are whiskey-headed. They cannot coherently speak. They're mumble. They're just not doing well in the brain area that deals with language and speech. Mm. So putting a little whiskey with those flames, make a little lake of whiskey that this is going to burn up. It will burn hot and high once that whiskey catches on fire. Remember, if you have a low ceiling, you better be doing this outdoors. Mm-hmm. And you might want to do it under, if you have a kitchen stove hood, do it under the kitchen stove hood. If you have a fireplace that has a chimney, do it in the fireplace. Please do not catch your house on fire. Now, you might ask what kind of whiskey to use. And the kind of whiskey I was taught to use by a guy who had a conjure shop in Oakland, California, was for negative things. He said, use Old Crow whiskey. And Old Crow, because the crow is a bird of ill omen and death. And he had a kind of whiskey for every kind of work you could use. There's love whiskey, there's health whiskey, and so forth. But Old Crow was for harsh spells. Also, Ancient Age, which was a brand of whiskey. I don't know if they still make it. But Ancient Age was used to contact ancestors, but it was also used to make a person act senile, old, and demented if they already had that tendency. You couldn't put Ancient Age on a young person. It wouldn't work. But you could put Ancient Age on an old person who fumbled around and didn't know what they were saying. So that is a very typical old kind of spell for the tongue. Anybody else have a spell? And tell what it's for.
Yeah, I mean, I can mention, so I've done the skull candle workshop. I've talked about something similar, not with a tongue, but you can carve out the mouth, stuff it with poppy seeds, and then cover it up with wax again to confuse their tongue is another way of doing a very similar thing to what Miss Kat said. But there's two really old-timey workings, and one of them came from an interview with a root doctor in Northern Carolina. And what you do is you take a thread and you call out that person's name. And when they respond, you make a knot in them. Miss Kat, you've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And you make a knot in them. You're supposed to do it a number of times. And there's differences between 3 and 9. But you call out their name over a period of time. And every time they say, yep, you make a knot in that a thread. Once you've got the thread with 3 knots or 9 knots, you place it into a bottle with vinegar, poppy seeds, and alum. And what that'll do is crust over their voice, and as a result, cause them to speak in confused manner. So what you're doing is you're capturing their voice. This is an old-timey working. You can see the really cool intersections of European folk magic, African-American folk magic, all kind of mingling together, because these type of knot spells are quite famous both in Northern Europe and in the Mediterranean. But you place it into that jar, and along with that vinegar and along with a lot of alum, and you sort of shake it up, and what it does is it causes them to sort of become tongue-tied. They're unable to speak, unable to talk. You can do the same thing if a person drinks a lot. You can do the exact same knot, but you put it in a bottle of whiskey, and what that'll do is cause their tongue to be drunk and speak in drunken ways. So there's two ways you can work with that knotted spell.
Good. I have some stuff here from the chat I want to just answer here. The BDS author asked, does the cause have to be just to make the skull spell effective? And my reply to that is, justice is not essential if you are willing to go rogue. After all, there are rogue sorcerers, there are criminals, there's, you know, we're simply talking about the boundaries of magic, not the boundaries of morality. And this is how our show has always gone. So just bear with us on that one. Taryn Archer asked, what is the Love Whiskey? Asking for a friend. The Love Whiskey is Four Roses brand. Okay. How about you, JD? You have one?
Yeah, I have a spell that I like to do to confuse and to muddy a person's vision. So what you do is you take confusion bath crystals and you mix it with water from a sewer drain or rain that you collected on a cloudy, stormy day so that their vision is cloudy. You can take a footprint of the person and mix that into the water with the bath crystals. And then if you can't get a footprint, then you can take some mud from a hole, or you can take mud from a cemetery from a person who was insane and mix that into the water. And then you take a picture of the person and you stick it into the jar and you shake it up, praying for the person to be muddied and confused and not able to think clearly.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that one. So you're mixing it up into kind of a slurry.
Yeah, it's like a slushy of mud and murky water and, you know, the bath crystals, and it just kind of makes a nice slushy little mix.
And then what do you do with it?
Well, I like to shake it as long as you need it to cause that confusion, and then I would bury it upside down when you're done with it so that the person, as long as you still want them to be confused, if you have no desire for them to be confused anymore. So let's say this was for a job and you got your way and you don't need it anymore, then you can dump it in running water and then clean out the jar and recycle it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really good. There is a webpage on how to dispose of tricks. And since I see that there's people here in the chat who have not been part of our show before, I'm just going to make sure that that gets pointed to. It's a page called Laying Tricks and Disposing of Ritual Remains in the Hoodoo Tradition. And it's at Lucky Mojo. And so when we talk about disposal, we mean pick a disposal that is appropriate to your spell. And so just a good way to check yourself to see that you know what you're doing. Okay, Conjurman, your turn.
I've given this in a previous radio show, and it's quite a famous working. I think it was originally related, if I'm not mistaken, Drahami Kaharik gives something similar to it. But what you do is you take two name papers of people that you want, or one name paper, whoever you want to be confused. So this can be done in a legal context. It can be done against someone at work. It can also be done in sort of breakups if you use more than one. But you take their name paper and you sprinkle in some red pepper seeds and poppy seeds, and then you twist the name paper, making a sort of almost cigarette-like roll. You twist the two ends, and then you place it in a pan and turn the heat on in the pan, letting the paper singe a little bit but not burn all the way. And then you turn the heat off, and you repeat this process over and over again, increasing the heat, turning it on, increasing the heat, and you'll actually hear the red pepper seeds and the poppy seeds sort of pop inside of these little paper name cigarettes, if you will. And this was designed specifically to confuse the mind, confuse the tongue, cause sort of meltdowns when it comes to this. If you put in another person in there, then those two people will fight and fuss, and they will argue and break up and whatnot. You can do this in a work situation. You can get a boss and a rival to fight with each other. But it's an old-timey working that I've repeated a few times in the show, but works wonders.
Yeah, that is a good one. And I also learned that from you and from Georgia McHarrick, and I have done it. Be careful if you have any allergy to red pepper. You might get, you know, an itch up your nose there. So be careful. All of these things, you can refer back to the show we just did with Lukianos called Toxic Herbs, which is turning out to be Toxic Herbs Part 1. And we're going to have them back to do more toxic herbs later. So be careful with those types of things. I'm going to talk about date and time confusion. This is something that I began to notice. There are certain people who always show up late. And once you begin to realize why they show up late, you can sort of start working on them. One reason is they might oversleep. Another reason is they might smoke marijuana, cannabis, which totally messes with your sense of time. Or they might do other drugs like alcohol and wake up hungover. There's going to usually be some reason that a person is chronically not on time. They might have anxiety before, you know, getting on that bus or getting in the car. Something is causing them to be late. And if you know they're late and you want them to always be late, for instance, to get them fired from your corporate job because they're not good for the team, no desire to kill them, but, you know, the lateness is going to become a problem and the manager is now going to see it. You want to increase their lateness, which is to increase their confusion. First of all, if you can find out why they're always late, start working on that. For instance, if they smoke grass, then you just take some weed and you don't need to smoke it yourself, but you can put it, a doll baby of theirs in a little bit of some whiskey and soak it in there, put a little doll baby upside down in that whiskey. But I got to explain here, you want to make a bottle spell, narrow bottle. The little doll can be made of wax. It's got to be identified with them. And I want you to see my book, Hoodoo Dolls and Effigies, which someone will post a link to. If you have the book, Hoodoo Dolls and Effigies, it tells you how to make a little wax doll. There's also a workshop I did on this that shows how to make a little small wax doll, like a little gingerbread man made out of beeswax, and you can stuff it with herbs and their name and whatever you want. Well, you want a narrow bottle that has that's wide enough to get the thing in, but that the doll cannot turn and float upright. It has to be staying down. And so once you put it down, you can also do it made of cloth, and so that when the arms unfold, it stays head down. You're going to take this, what I would call it, the drug. Okay, now it's not going to be an upper type drug like methamphetamines. It's going to be a downer type drug. It could be cough medicine. It could be, like I said, a little bit of marijuana. And you're going to put this in whiskey to make them whiskey headed. That's the same idea, confuse their head. And you're going to put the doll so that only the head is in the drug. And now they are going to stay there. You can make this get even better by putting a clock or a watch, and I use analog clocks, and set the clock to the wrong time. So now they're upside down with their head in a dosed whiskey, say with poppy seeds or whatever it's going to be, and they're staring at this clock that you've put right there, and you tell them the time is some other time. Like, you know, don't hurry. It's only 3 o'clock. You don't need to hurry. It's only three. Don't worry about it. It's only 3 o'clock. And you just say that over and over and over again to them. You don't shake the jar. You don't do anything with it. You just let them see that clock and look at it, and it's the wrong time. You can also use a calendar. Don't worry. It's only Tuesday. That's when they reschedule the meeting for. They rescheduled for Tuesday at 4 o'clock. But you know it's really Thursday at 3 o'clock, whatever it's going to be, you see? And you do what would be called mind work on them, but you're getting them to believe the date, and it's the wrong date. Okay, so that's a confusion of action. It's a confusion of time and date. You can use a clock that you set back even 40 minutes or so, and they will be late. So that's a good one. And I've used it with people, particularly who are chronic users of mind-altering substances. It's very easy to confuse their time. Okay, how about another one? We got some questions here. Domchris said, is dill good to use in place of poppy? I read that dill is good for court cases, not for confusion, however, Domchris. Dill is not for confusion. Poppy is for confusion because it contains opium. Opium, opium, opium. And you can also use poppy petals if you can get them. The amount of opium in poppy seeds is sufficient that people fail to pass a drug test if they've been eating poppy seed bagels. It happens all the time. So you need something that is, go back to the toxic herb show that we did, and also look up herbs that affect the mind, because that's what we're really looking for. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see what we have here. Dramamine would be a good one. Yes, that was Margaret Phyllis Gabor. Dramamine is fantastic to mess up the time sense in the mind. And another one is NyQuil, one of my very favorites to use, dextromethorphan hydrobromide. And that stuff will knock you out, knock them out, they'll oversleep. And it's just a good one to use. Work on this a few days in advance. You know, try to, you have to break someone's time sense, you need to kind of go with it for a while. Mm. All right. I think we have pretty much everything here. Oh, JD said poppy, red pepper, black mustard seeds, black pepper, red pepper, dirt dauber are used to cause confusion. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Poppy seeds, poppy petals, Dramamine, codeine. I've used Percocets. I think I've mentioned this before on the radio. I had a little tooth thing going on, and they said, oh, well, it's going to hurt, so here's some Percocet. I've never taken Percocet in my fucking life. And I had this little bottle of Percocet, and then I needed to get somebody confused on behalf of a client, and I just took those Percocets, and I smashed them up and put them in whiskey, and the person actually bailed on the whole event. It didn't show up. Valerian. Oleana George said, would valerian be good to make someone sleepy-headed? Yes. Valerian, or vandal root, which smells like awful, will make people groggy.
It is really horrible smelling.
Yes. Chamomile is also soporific, and so is lettuce. And lettuce contains opium and a small quantity of opium. And so if you take romaine lettuce, which is pretty strong, and you kind of, don't use iceberg, it's not strong enough, but just take romaine lettuce and just see what you can do with that, or grow some lettuce. Chamomile is sleepy. These are all put together. You can buy a hippie herb like Celestial Season Sleepy Time Tea. Give that a try, too. All right.
There's a really simple working. It's an old-timey working from a Virginian conjure in the Black spiritual tradition, which works with the Bible, in which you write a person's name three times on a piece of paper, and then you cover that with Psalm 35, verse 26. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion, together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, that magnify themselves against me. So you cover their name with this verse so that it's completely blocked out. You put a pinch of poppy seeds, you fold it up, and then you tie it up with black string and put it in the Bible at Psalm 35. You sort of keep it in there. And so long as it remains there, the person will be confused in their actions against you.
That's good. That's a really good one. And putting packets in the Bible is a whole nother ball of wax here. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about magic, it's all interconnected. So I just want to do a shout out to Miss Michael and Professor Charles Porterfield and their book, Hoodoo Bible Magic. And if you don't have that book, you might want to buy a copy of it. We'll put the URL through here. Hoodoo Bible Magic lists all of the Psalms and many other pieces of scripture and what they're used for. There is also at AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, a page on the Psalms, and I hope someone puts that URL through too. And the reason I'm asking for these URLs to be put through is, so far, for whatever reason, my ranking at this site does not allow me to post URLs, so I'm out of luck. I'll try to get that fixed by next week. So, but Hoodoo Bible Magic will really help you, and so will the AIR page on the Psalms. All right, JD, your turn.
Yes, so I wanted to share one actually from your book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, to cause confusion at home, but it's also great for causing confusion at work or in other areas. So you mix dirt dauber nest, red pepper, and black mustard seed and salt, and you can sprinkle this around the house to cause trouble. It's great to sprinkle as well around a workplace. And this was from a show I think you did a week or two ago about contact magic. The great thing here, it's all about the contact. So as they step in it, touch it, it has the influence on them and then causes the confusion.
That's a good one. And yeah, stepping into these things really makes a difference for me. A lot of people just want to burn a confusion candle and they think they're done with it. I have no problem with burning a confusion candle, and it may work very, very, very well for you. But it helps if you have a picture of the person that you glue to the front of the candle. It helps if you recite a psalm. Any more energy you put into it, the more energy comes out. But we do something at our church, which is called backing up the work. So if you were to do this little, very simple spell, which JD described from my book, and sprinkle it around, but you also wanted it to be backed up, we could burn a confusion candle for you at our church, and we would put in the same kinds of herbs in that candle, and we would be burning it in your name. And they burn for, you know, 5 days or so. And that's a good way to work, is to have someone back it up if you can't do the candles, because, hey, you're going to your job and you don't want to leave a candle unattended in your house. So those are very old-fashioned ways to work, to do contact magic and back it up with a candle. You can also do the opposite and get us to send you a candle. You have a candle. We light them both at the same time. And then you can buy all the ingredients to make that confusion mess. Or you can buy confusion powder, which pretty much has that mess in it. So there you go. We pre-make these as mixtures, powders. And they are based on arrowroot powder, so they're, you know, they're more or less safe, depending on how allergic someone might be to black pepper. Another form of confusion of the tongue is to have a person be inappropriate for the venue. So this is a kind of fun one. Somebody is supposed to go to court and they're supposed to testify. And they got all their paperwork and you couldn't get them to stop and you couldn't get traffic to hold them up. But make sure that they dress badly. Inappropriate for the venue often can include taking a doll and putting rags on it, getting its hair all snarly and messed up, dirt all over on its face. You know, and you can use a commercial doll for this. You don't have to hand make a doll. Just make sure that doll is named for them. Make the doll dirty, its clothes torn, inappropriate for the venue. And then you hang a little badge of shame around it. The badge of shame, you know, I'm sure you've seen these on YouTube where people put these little placards of shame on their dogs or cats, you know, I ate the turkey, you know, that kind of thing. So you can make this doll, it's dirty, it's messed up, and then you put on it, I showed up for court sloppy drunk, and you pour some whiskey on its head and its clothes are torn. Or I showed up for court dressed like a slut, and you have it dressed like a slut. And this inappropriateness confuses their sense of who they're going to be presenting to and how they're going to be. For instance, I showed up for the job interview. It was a little badge. They are saying, I showed up for the job interview in yoga pants and a halter top. Right? They're not going to get the job. So that's a sort of way to confuse them about what the venue considers appropriate clothing. It is doll work. And doll work is very complex. And we've done shows before on doll work. If you're not familiar with doll work, please don't just jump into this intuitively. There's a lot going to how to baptize a doll, how to name it, and stuff. But I really like the badge of shame work with dolls to show how confused the person is. Okay, who's going next?
I would like to share another one that I was looking at. This one is similar to what you were talking about earlier on how to make a person stumble and fall, is where you would take a picture where you can see the full body of the person, or you can make a doll baby and you can stuff the legs with knot grass and barberry. Mm-hmm. And then you could tie that to a tree so that it floats back and forth so the person can never really go where they're going.
So that they won't be able to settle down. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we've done a lot of confusion spells today, and I hope people are going to use these. Okay.
Fantastic. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And now it's time to go to our backstage where we have a client waiting for us. Our client is Liberty, joining us from Seattle. Can you hear me, Liberty?
Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. Liberty signed up at the forum at forum.luckymojo.com and indicated that she had had readings on this subject before, but it seems like it might not have been from AIR members and quite a while back. Is that accurate?
Well, not on this. I actually worked with Conjure Manoli many, many years ago, like 2014.
Very good. Okay.
On a different matter with a previous partner, and it was successful.
Very good. Well, let me read your situation. She writes, I had to abbreviate what she wrote, but I'll be putting what she wrote in as well as my abbreviated version. My boyfriend and I have been together for a year and have been in a witch war with his ex-girlfriend. I have worked with a voodoo priest to get rid of her or limit her, which worked, but at a high cost. I paid the priest to destroy a controlling spell and a guardian spirit. The priest says that there is another spirit that is more evil and is forcing Juju, her boyfriend, not to come home at night after work. I have been lighting candles at the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church for us, and I need to know how to fix this. Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, I've got a couple of questions here. Question number one, and I don't see that you wrote this in. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Mine, I'm a 624. I'm a Cancer, Sun, Libra, Rising, Leo Moon.
So you're fairly gentle, although that Leo Moon is tough, but you're a fairly gentle person.
I can be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He's a double Capricorn. I'm not sure if it's Virgo or Libra rising. I think it depends on who you ask.
Mm-hmm. And what about the enemy, his ex-girlfriend?
She is a Taurus. I don't. I don't know.
Well, there's part of your problem.
Okay.
Taurus is the most persistent of all the signs of the zodiac. Is that not true, Conjurman?
Yeah, which is the reason why I would have loved to have had you work on it, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that there is a problem, and I'm not sure that we're going to talk about a reading. So the question, I think what you're asking is how to fix this. Is that the question? Who should I go to? Hope this evil will come to an end. So, okay, because you've asked several questions here, and I need to know, what is your actual question?
Well, I'm wanting to figure out what's going on with this. So it was a hand spell that was done by, not actually her, there's two people that were involved, that are involved here that we found out as we were working. One was her and one was his best friend. And that's
Hold on. You're not answering my question, and we do have a limited time. So let's get back to the question. What is your question?
I want to know what we need to do to get rid of this other spirit, because.
Okay. That's it. That's the question. Got it. What to get rid of the spirit that's behind the hand spell. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because now I have a focus. All right. So I'm going to do your first reading, and we're going to have JD do your second reading, and Conjurman will give you a root work. Okay. So the first card I have is a card of complete and utter confusion. And this card is called the Moon. And it's a card of mental stress. Things are not what they seem. People who seem friendly may not be friendly. People who seem unfriendly may be friendly. Yep. It's about separation. And I'm going to say something here that is probably controversial. I kind of wonder about this priest.
Yes.
To me, a priest who says, I found another spell behind this spell, is a person who's playing what we call Russian dolls.
Yes.
So Russian dolls are a doll within a doll within a doll.
Yep.
And this is a well-known thing that I find worrisome.
Yep.
I would want to be very sure that I wasn't pouring good money after bad. This card, the Moon, says you may have run into somebody. Again, I don't know the priest. I'm not trying to bad rap them. Okay. But there are a certain kind of egotistical, mentally compromised people who can't admit that every spell they do doesn't work.
Correct.
And but we know that every spell doesn't work. Not every case is won by every lawyer. Not every patient is saved by every doctor. We do the best we can. And rather than say, I tried that, it didn't work, let me try something else. There are many people, and I'm not just saying priests, there are many root doctors, there are many therapists who say, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't cure your migraines, but I found out about your past lives, and you have past life migraines.
Right.
And then when they can't cure your past life migraines, they say you have outer space migraines from the planet Alcindor. You know what I mean? It's just some crazy.
Yep.
And they go on and on. So I'm convinced with this card that you need to be very perceptive and that something has been told to you that may not be true.
Okay. I that's part of the reason why I called in here is because I know that you guys would tell me the truth.
Well, I've told you what I do. Let me go on. I'm going to do three cards. Okay. The next card here is called A Lie Has Been Told, and it is called the Seven of Swords. And this shows a person stealing swords and also being a poser, pretending to be something they're not.
Uh-huh.
So again, I'm seeing here that something was told to you that was untrue. Now, whether or not that evil X is the problem and the witch war is the problem, something about the advice you were given or the information you were given is untrue. Okay.
Okay.
And the third card is a card that says, perhaps your best way to find a way forward is to do something entirely different.
Correct.
And this card is called the High Priestess. And this is a woman who is on a little bench between two pillars, white and black. She's sometimes called the wise woman, or the woman of the moon. She also has moons on her, like that moon card, but she's a sort of a priestess or goddess figure. She has a waning moon, a full moon, a waxing moon. She has a crescent moon of Islam at her feet. She has a Christian cross. She has the Torah, her first five books of the Jewish Tanakh or Bible. She has pomegranates. This is a woman who has had children. She has palm trees, probably meaning a woman who is a wife and mother. This woman would be someone who can help you. And it is not this situation you've been in. So I would seek out someone different.
Yes.
And that is my reading. So let me turn this over to JD.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Kat.
Hi, thank you, Ms. Kat. So the first card I pulled for this situation was, and particularly one of your questions was about him not, this person not coming home, and I pulled the Three of Swords. And this tells me that one of the reasons that this person isn't coming home right now and what's going on in your situation is that there's fidelity issues that are going on in the relationship right now, where there's trust issues, there's lack of, there's infidelity, where there's other people that are taking up this other person's time and engage. The second card that I pulled on the situation was the moon card, as Miss Kat pulled.
Oh.
And this is two, you know, wolves, maybe dogs howling at the moon. And the moon card generally in sense could be confusion, depression, someone who is not doing well, being misled by things. And I believe what you're seeing here is that you're being misled to believe that this infidelity is caused by someone else and not by the person who's actually doing the infidelity. And the third card I pulled was the Tower. And the Tower card is a big tower with a big gold crown. It's struck by what looks like fire and lightning from heaven. And where you have a man and a woman falling out of the castle, and the entire building is burned down. And often when the Tower card comes up, it's a quick and speedy and expeditious change. And what I see here is that there's been this infidelity is increasing more to the point where a breakup is probably imminent.
So what's happening is there's a third party. It's a guy friend. It's not actual. That person does have romantic interests in my partner, but it's not reciprocated. But there is a tremendous amount of loyalty there because of their past. It's male. It's not sexual. But they have big bonds because of some time that they spent in incarceration years ago.
Okay. But what you've talked about here, and I'm sort of confused now by what you said. Well, witchcraft war with his ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
And now you're bringing in another person.
Well, my synopsis was cut down. I tried to be to the four sentences.
Okay.
While we were, she's not the issue. While we were working on that, we discovered this, and okay. This person is very covetous of my partner's time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told that this is going to break up, and I'm not going to let that happen. So I have some candles that are burning at the missionary church to protect that. But I want to know what I can do to fix this.
Okay, well, we'll get to the root work now. So let's turn this over to Conjurman. But I want you to understand, this is being peeled away. Talk about confusion.
I'm following along.
Okay, peeled away like layers of an onion. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Liberty, first, you were, I'm glad that we've worked in the past and things worked out. I'm sorry to hear about the difficulties you're dealing with now in this new situation. Okay. It's never fun to be caught in the crosshairs in this way. You've got a lot going on, and I do want to say up front that based off of what I've just heard here, you've got some really great readings from an incredibly talented crew. I would hire someone or work with someone more closely in this matter. Whatever I give you now is like a band-aid solution, right? Because I only got 10 minutes max here to kind of go through this. So this is a band-aid solution, but there are things you can do. We can turn to some of the root work that's been done in the past from famous conjure doctors and root doctors to really deal with this situation. Because you have multiple enemies, you've got sort of a witch war going on, not so trustworthy practitioner, and you've got this coveted person who's not really a romantic relationship, but they kind of want it, but your lover does. It's like, there's a lot going on. We're going to do a sort of general protection and cleansing and then really focus in on trying to repair the relationship between the two of you. And so what I want you to do is take, this is actually a very famous working. It's known as St. Michael's Blade, and it comes from Mississippi Conjure. It's a particular root work, very famous. What you're going to do is you're going to take agrimony, you're going to burn it as an incense in the house, and you're going to kind of go from room to room. And this sort of drives out any negativity from the home. It drives out if any of these lingering spirits, entities, whatever, it drives them out. What you want to do is you want to work from back to front, sort of shoving them out the door with the incense smoke. Now, you're going to take a knife. It needs to be a brand new knife. It should be a nice and big knife. And you're going to wash this in holy water and then anoint it with either blessing oil or you can get fiery wall of protection. Okay. And you're going to recite Psalm 91 over it. You're going to take the blade and go to your front door and drive the blade into the ground with the sharp edge outwards. And this is known as St. Michael's Blade. And what it does is it creates a barrier of sorts so that no entity can cross the threshold or enter into your home again. It also deals with this other witch that's messing with you. Any sort of working that they throw at you, this will reputedly drive it away. It'll basically, she'll cut herself every time she tries to work against you. What this does is it creates an element of protection in your home. And once you've got that, then you can try to do a little bit of uncleansing work. Take a photo of your lover, write their name on the back along with their date of birth, and then take an egg and pass over this photo three times while praying from your heart. Then smoke this in that agrimony incense again. And again, this will remove. So once you've removed any force from the home, this removes it from this individual, your former lover. Ideally, this should be done on a Monday. Now we need to draw a little bit of healing. Again, this is very complicated working because you're in a very complicated situation. So once you've cleansed the home and protected it, then you've cleansed the lover, now you need to draw, create a path backwards to restore and to heal so that he can return into the safety of the home. What you're going to do is take his photo, the one that you already have made. Now you're going to do the same thing with your photo. Take your photo, write your name on the back. Now take both of them, put them face to face, take red thread and bind them together so that all he can see is you. You're going to grind rose, cuba berries, and ginger together. Get a charcoal, incense charcoal, light it, and then sprinkle the herbs on top of this. Smoke these photos in this incense blend to draw him to you, and then burn the photos to ash. Mix all of the ash together, the incense ash, the photo ash, mix it together, and add in some local dirt. Now, if you can get to your partner or lover's home, you're going to sprinkle...
We live together.
You live together, perfect. So what you're going to do is you're going to take this ash and you're going to sprinkle it at the front door in front of, behind the blade. So the blade should be in the ground. The dirt should be in the threshold. You see, you're kind of creating a line here. There's a protective line, which is the blade, and then the sort of loving line, which is going to be the incense, right? You're going to put that on the threshold of the door. Then you're going to go to the bedroom, and you're going to put another line down. Since this is in the house, you don't even need to mix it with dirt. You can just use the ash and kind of mix it very lightly into the carpet, okay? You're going to put this on the threshold of the bedroom door. Then the remaining components of it. You're going to put underneath your bed, under the mattress, between the box spring and the mattress, or the mattress and the floor, and you're going to put two bombs of Gilead with it. And what this will do is it creates a protective edge so that any sort of working that's done against you, that's done against this person, any sort of individual that is coveted or whatnot will run up against that sword of Michael and end up sort of cutting themselves. It cuts and it will protect you. Then within that ring of protection, you're creating love. You're fostering communication. You're fostering affection. You're fostering healing between you and this person. Both the incense and the bombs of Gilead are designed to restore whatever was lost between you two. Yeah, so long as that you do this, that gives you a little bit of an edge here. Now, that said, this guy has a lot of moving parts and there seems to be multiple people involved. So at some point you might consider bringing on a professional who can either do some of this for you or walk you through it step by step. But if you do at least this, these are very traditional old school workings that have been passed down through ethnographic work, through interviews, through practitioners. If you do this working, it will help to ameliorate some of what you're dealing with.
Okay, awesome. So thank you very much for that.
We have a couple of other comments. In the Margaret Phyllis Gabor said you can put bay leaves in the corners of your house before you do this so they can't see what you're doing. Bay leaves are good for invisibility. Yep. And I would also say about finding someone else, which is what Conjurman said, I think I saw that person already. That would be the high priestess. It would be a woman worker. Yep. You can go to AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, and you will find different female workers who would take on this job. You might ask for backup candles to be burned while you do the physical work that Conjurman told you to do. And I think it was really great, Conjurman. That's really good work because it's to get her involved. Mm-hmm. And a place like my shop or can supply the herbs, and we can also burn the backup candles for you. Or you can get a whole root worker to do the work for you. But do your own work in the home. All right. Oof. That was really good stuff, folks. Thank you so much.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network. Broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. And now, here are a few details from next week's shows. Next week on Tuesday, the Crystal Silence League will feature Inner Secrets, The Power Within Reach. On Tuesday, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron will be exploring Tarot Zero, The Fool. On Wednesday, The Now You Know Show will be a show on psychometry and wintergreen. On Thursday, The Witch, Priestess, and the Cauldron will be exploring Tarot One, The Magician, in an ongoing series. And next Sunday on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, we'll have an oracle hour with Miss Elvira on interpreting signs and symbols. And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, JD, of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. Take it away, JD.
Thank you, Nagashiva. This week, I bring us a free spell on how to confuse an enemy. And this spell is intended to turn a person's life upside down and cause confusion. Therefore, they're unable to harm or interfere with your life. It can also be used for an enemy to confuse a witness or confuse someone who's interfering in your life in any way. Items you need: a slim, short mason jar, a photo of the person, and you want two of them, inflammatory confusion sachet powder, inflammatory confusion incense, poppy seed, black mustard seed, black pepper, and red pepper. Doing this work, take the two photos of the enemy you wish to work on and glue them back to back. Name and baptize them and then set it aside. Mix the sachet, the incense, and herbs as you pray for them to bring confusion into the life of your enemy, the disruption of the person to make mistakes and to mess up. Pray that their life is turned upside down and that they cannot make sense of anything. And fill the jar about halfway full. I try to do it about one third to halfway full. Take the image of the person, which should be about the size of the jar. You want the person in the jar to not be able to turn upward. So you want it to be about the same size, length, and kind of width of the jar so that when it's put in the jar, it stays that same way. Now stick the image of the person upside down into the blend and seal the jar. They should just write the size, like I said, so they're unable to turn upward. Then you will seal the jar and you will recite Genesis 11:7-9. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth and they stopped building the city. And you will also recite Deuteronomy 7:23. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. Now that the jar is sealed, shake the jar up and down and pray these verses for confusion to fall on your enemies as you work this jar regularly and continuously to cause confusion on them. Now, you would use this jar continuing to cause confusion on them as long as you desire that purpose. As long as they are upside down in the jar, their world and life will be upside down. They'll be confused. They'll be unable to think clearly. They'll be in a state of confusion. If you desire to end that, so let's say you got your way or you won in court, you can empty this in running water and you can clear the jar. If this is ongoing work that you want to continue, you can bury this at a cemetery at the hand of a grave, paying the grave to hold that person to keep them in that state of confusion. That is my free spell this week.
Right. That's a really, really good one. And I'm going to add a little something here about disposing of the jar and running water. There's a couple of ways to do this. I think in the old days, people just threw the whole jar into a river and say, let it get away from me. But it's more common nowadays to open the jar if the material is not going to be toxic to fish. Just wash it out with your hand, just swirl it out, take the jar, glass jar back. And remember, we don't use plastic jars because toxic plastic is bad for us. So take the glass jar back and put it in the recycling after you've just washed it out in the river. Easy enough way to dispose of a jar. Again, there's a whole web page on disposing of ritual remains, which is useful. Interestingly, we just had an example of confusion. We were doing a show on confusion spells, and somebody joined the chat who started off seeming perfectly normal, maybe a little bit eager, a little overdone, nobody we'd ever heard before, and became increasingly weird. And people began asking for this person to be banned, and eventually they were banned because they became more and more and more confused. Somebody earlier, and I don't think it might have been Margaret Phyllis Gabor, asked, so how do you protect yourself from people? Well, one way is you can protect yourself by causing them to become so confused, this would be inflammatory confusion, that they begin to reveal that they are completely out of control, and then you can actually step up and ban them. Just a word to the wise, patience first, observant watching next, and then excision. Okay? Just 1, 2, 3. All right. Does anyone else have anything else to add to JD's spell?
No, I thought it was fantastic. Really cool. I will say that there's plenty of talismans and amulets that are designed specifically to protect you from these types of workings or from people who are dealing with confusion. So both from being attacked by it, that's a whole separate topic in of itself. But just putting it out there that there are protective measures on almost all traditions of magic globally to protect you from being attacked so that you're not confused and that inflammatory confusion works fail against you, or to protect you from people who are themselves inflammatory confused.
Yeah, I'm going to say something. One of the, because we do have a moment here to talk about it, one of the things that are very popular in historical magic are labyrinth spells and spiral spells.
Yeah.
Those confuse the enemy. So you just spiral, you write a prayer spiral like on the old Jewish incantation bowls, or you can make a labyrinth spell out of a protective psalm where you actually are drawing a labyrinth out of words. And those kinds of spells, which can be made into amulets, talismans, paper, put into a amulet case or a gow case and a little leather wallet, whatever you're going to do, those kind of spells will confuse your enemies and keep them from coming to your house. The Jewish incantation spells, which were done as spirals, were often put upside down at the corners of a building to protect the building from being confused or people being confused. So, yes, there are spells to trap and waylay enemies that are confusion spells. So, but that's a different topic. It's a protection topic magic. I want to mention here because people have been asking over and over. I think we might want to do another protection spell tutorial and maybe talk about protection through confusion and kind of get into the details of that. What do you think, guys?
I think it's a great topic.
I agree.
All right. Well, we'll do this someday. It won't be right now, but it'll be later. Nagashiba will write it down. All right, our end music is on, and here comes our announcer pro tem.
Thank you, Ms. Cat and Conjurman. And thank you, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week, when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Arkansas, bringing us an Oracle Hour tutorial on interpreting signs and symbols. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And Conjurman at ConjurmanConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Troll Towelhead, joining you from SatanService.org. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week via YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available at YouTube.com/@LuckyMojoCurioCo. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you. And again, I just want to remind folks, please tell all your friends we're on YouTube. Please like, subscribe, and all of that good stuff. We do need the help, and we are giving away a prize of a real nice lot of books when we meet our 1,000 member subscription. And all you have to do to get that prize is to leave a comment on any of our shows. We are increasing the speed of the shows with your donations, and if you do donate, we will be very grateful for any help we could get in hiring the help to make these shows go be videographed. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Thank you, JD, for being so adaptable.
Yeah.
All right. Time to say goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.